We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to this international broadcast, this is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we welcome you. Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful today for the love of God that brought Jesus into this world to be our Savior and to be our Redeemer. And we're thankful that you have promised us that you had not let us be tempted above that we're able to bear, but that you would with every temptation make a way of escape for us, even though the fiery darts may fly thick and fast. Now we pray, as our broadcast service goes forth to this precious people, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and make it a blessing to each and to every one. You see our congregation, and I know you love each one of them, so minister to their needs, whether it be physical or spiritual. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now to God be granted all the praise and glory, for he gave his Son on Calvary to die. The Son gave his life on old Golgotha. Now who is on the Lord's side tonight?
Who is on the Lord's the Lord's side among you. Who is on the side of the right?
Yes, upon the cross there hang our blessed Savior. And the clouds came o'er the sun and hid the sky. But the price for our salvation there he purchased. If unto the words of God you'll draw nigh. Now
who is on the Lord's side among you? Who will help us join in the fight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the side of the right?
Now
who is on the Lord's side among you?
Tell me
who is on the Lord's side tonight.
Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, The Fight of Faith. And our text of scripture is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The Christian life is a fight of faith. If we are not willing to fight, then we cannot be a Christian. I'm not talking about physical fights, fighting among people or between people. I'm talking about fighting that enemy that is determined to destroy our soul in the lake of fire. So I say the Christian life is a fight, as we have here in our text. Fight the good fight of faith. And if you're not willing to fight, then you cannot be a soldier in the army of the Lord, or a Christian, in other words. God has given us an armor. The whole armor is required. In the book of Ephesians, we are told about this armor, and we are to have our loins girded about with truth. And truth is very important. I know today people would have you to believe that it really don't make any difference what you believe, just so you're sincere. But the Word of God does not support such reasoning as that. Jesus Christ said, if you would be my disciples indeed, then you keep my word, and if you'll do that, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Truth is the only thing that, obedience to truth, I should say, is the only thing that will make you free from sin and free from false religion and from the love of the world. And so having our loins girt about with truth is indeed very, very important. And let me say here, there is such a thing as truth, contrary to what some people believe and teach. And it is possible to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, just as I have quoted the Lord Jesus. If we would be his disciples indeed, and keep my commandments, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said in reference to the Holy Spirit, whenever he is come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Now, it's not only necessary for us to know the truth, but it's necessary for us to live it. In other words, to have our loins girded about with it. And the second point is the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, holy living. And again, I realize that in the religious world today, people would insist that it's impossible to do that. But the Word of God teaches us that we are to live holy. The Bible says that God is holy, and be ye holy, for I am holy. And Jesus said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So we are to have our breastplate of righteousness on, and we are to live holy, righteously, and godly in this present world, as Paul wrote to Titus. Then the gospel of peace. And surely this is greatly needed in the world in which we live today. Have you ever known a time when there was more turmoil and strife among nations and among families and among people than there is today? And what is needed is for people to have their shoes on. He said, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And if you have on these shoes of peace, you will be able to live at peace. Live at peace with all men. And as far as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. And the kingdom of God is the kingdom of peace. Thank God. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the Apostle Paul said in Romans 14 and 17. So we're to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We're talking today about fighting the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And so we need the shield of faith, whereby we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And there are many, many fiery darts that Satan would shoot at us. And we have to have on this whole armor, including the shield of faith, if we are going to be victorious and overcome that wicked one. We are to have on the helmet of salvation. And the word salvation means deliverance from sin. Yes, salvation means deliverance. And when it comes to the salvation of the Lord, it's talking about salvation from sin. And none of us can fight the good fight of faith without having an experience of salvation, because it's only through the saving grace of God that we are able to say no to sin and yes to the will of God. And so thank God today for the helmet of salvation, for deliverance from sin. And the same God that delivered us from sin is able to keep us from sin. Awake to righteousness and sin not. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Multitudes of church members are still alive to sin. But if you are going to be alive to Christ, you've got to die to sin. Yes, you must die to sin. How shall we that are dead to sin continue therein? And so we need to have the helmet of salvation, and we need to have the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, and we need the Word just as it is. You know, whenever people put the wrong interpretation on the Word of God, it is no longer the Word of God. It's false doctrine, it's false teachings, it's false misconceptions of the Scriptures. The Word of God is only the Word of God as long as it is rightly divided. And you notice here in this part of the armor that we are to put on, the sword of the Spirit. Not human reasoning, not using the Word as a club, but letting the Spirit of God use us, help us to understand the Scriptures, properly apply them, and then we will be able to be victorious. Remember the temptations of Jesus whenever he was, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, Satan came to him with three notable temptations. And in one of those temptations, the one he tried to get him to jump down off the pinnacle of the temple, he quoted a scripture to Jesus. Yes, he quoted a scripture to Jesus, but he would have had Jesus to use it wrong. And Jesus knew how to use the sword of the Spirit. He knew the real meaning of it. And he said we should not tempt the Lord our God, which Satan was trying to get him to do. So the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, rightly divided, rightly interpreted, and rightly applied. And then Paul goes on to say that we are to pray with supplication in the Spirit. No, not vain repetitions, not a mere form, not just words, but praying from the heart and praying in the Spirit. The Bible tells us we don't know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit helps our infirmities and makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we are to pray, and we are to pray in the Spirit and pray with faith, believing. For prayer and faith go together. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith in God, Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. No, we're not talking about a carnal warfare. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So the Apostle Paul wrote in his second letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 10 and verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but we are in a battle. We do need these weapons that I've just referred to, and we need to put them on so that we'll be equipped to fight the good fight of faith. Now, we have an enemy, and I'd like to mention them, for a few of them at least. Our foes are, first of all, the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now, those people who say there is no devil, the devil has them. He has them, and he has them blinded, and he has them deceived. Jesus Christ knew what he was talking about, and so did the Apostle Peter when he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The Apostle Paul tells us in his second letter to the church at Corinth about the angel, the devil, changing himself into an angel of light. Yes, no wonder, or no marvel that his ministers also are ministers of light, whose end shall be according to their works. The devil doesn't usually come to anybody and say, well, now I'm the devil, I've come to deceive you. No, he doesn't come that way. He would come in dressed up like a preacher or try to be an angel of light whenever he is an angel of darkness, a prince of darkness, as a matter of fact. So do not let Satan deceive you and resist him steadfast in the faith. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh to you. So the devil is enemy number one. Also, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, as I have just referred to the scripture, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes, we have enemies that we must wrestle against. And again, I'm not talking about a physical warfare, but there are principalities, there's rulers out there, rulers of darkness and powers against the rulers of darkness and the darkness of this world. Yes, Satan is a prince of darkness, and this old world is filled with darkness, and I'm talking spiritually now. This old world is filled with darkness, and some of this spiritual darkness is found in the religious world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And again I say, if you're not willing to fight, you cannot be a disciple of Christ. Now, the rulers of darkness of this world, against civil rulers who stand up and support Satan and his satanic and evil and ungodly ways and works. Spiritual wickedness in high places, again, would be false religion. And there's a lot of that in the world today. Various cults and false deceiving religion, preachers deceiving the people, blind leading the blind. I do not say that to find fault or to be critical. I say that to awaken souls to the truth. And we must fight against these things if we're going to be victorious and keep our soul right in the sight of God. Now, sin in all of its forms. I just mentioned a very few, but there are many, many enemies in the world. And sin is an enemy that we must fight and overcome and resist steadfast in the faith. And when it comes to the world, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So James said, chapter 4, verse 4, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? 1 John 5 and 5. So we must overcome this world. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now there are some things necessary to be successful in the fight of faith. And one thing is a good conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19. And there must be self-denial. 1 Corinthians 9 and 25 through 27. And we must be steadfast in the faith, as Peter says in 1 Peter 5 and 9. And we must be earnest, as Jude said, earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Watchfulness, as Peter tells us again in 1 Peter 5 and 8. And sobriety is also mentioned here in 1 Peter 5 and 8. And prayer, Psalm 35, 1 through 3. A victorious Christian must be a victorious prayer warrior. Without a victorious prayer life, you'll not be able to live a victorious Christian life. And then there is that endurance. So we read in 2 Timothy 2 and 3, be not weary in well-doing, but in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And we must have confidence in Almighty God. They that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And we must be free from all worldly entanglements. According to Paul's letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2 and 4, he told him not to be entangled with the things of this world. And we must strive together, not against one another as Christians, but striving together, according to Philippians 1:27. And we must have help from Almighty God. We cannot fight the good fight of faith in our own strength. We must have the help of the Lord. But we have His promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us, that He'll never let us be tempted above that which we are able to bear, but will with every temptation make a way of escape. Now, He didn't say we wouldn't be tempted, but He said He would not let us be tempted above that which we are able to bear. And Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you. No, it's common to man. A fiery trial goes beyond just the ordinary trial. But whether it be the ordinary or the fiery trial, God's promise is true. And He said He would give us power over the enemy. Jesus said, greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. Now, there are recompenses to be an overcomer. Yes, there are recompenses to be received when we are overcomers, when we fight the good fight of faith. And I'll just very briefly refer to some of them. Number one, we shall eat of the hidden manna, Revelation chapter 2 and 17. We shall eat of the tree of life, Revelation 2 and 7. We shall be clothed in white raiment, Revelation 3 and 5. Shall be a pillar in the temple of God, Revelation 3 and 12. We shall sit with Christ in his throne, thank the Lord. We shall sit with Christ in his throne, Revelation 3:21. And we shall inherit all things that are good, Revelation 21 and 7. And we shall be confessed by Christ before God the Father, Revelation 3:5. Jesus said if we were ashamed of him in this world, he would be ashamed of us before the Father. But if we are faithful and fight the good fight of faith, Jesus will confess us before the Father, Revelation 3:5. And we shall not have our names blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. We get our name in the Lamb's Book of Life by being saved, and we keep it there by living the Christian life. And so our name will not be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Again, Revelation 3 and 5. And we shall not be hurt by the second death. Revelation 2:11. The second death is eternal separation from God. After the judgment, and Christ says to those on the left-hand side, depart from me, they shall go away into that lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And this is the second death, and it is final, it is eternal. And we shall receive a crown of life, 2 Timothy 4, 6, 7, and 8. And we shall obtain a home in heaven, 2 Corinthians 5, 1. So there are great recompenses in fighting the good fight of faith and living true to the Lord. Let us always remember who our enemy is, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust that it has been a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Again, we give you our mailing address and invite you to write us. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And we invite you to be with us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening service begins at 6. And our midweek service begins at 7. And they are broadcast live over the internet, www.wayoftruth.org. You may also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage. Again, I give you our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Avenue Craig thanking you for being a part of our congregation today, inviting you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
God can.